We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time of the week when we get together to have a conversation focusing on an issue that the body of Christ, the church, we as Christians need to have a better understanding of, and in particular, a biblical understanding of it. We are now in the final stretch of the 2016 presidential election, and we've actually been discussing this topic from time to time since the first primary debates back last year, David.
Well, that's right, and that was when there were 16 presidential candidates, and going through the primary season, there were three Democratic candidates, and boy, it's been an up and down and crazy roller coaster year. Some things have been very ugly and some things have been interesting. And even as we've been in this last week, it's probably been one of the craziest weeks so far. But one thing I just wanted to point out to our listeners, you know, our position is to try to avoid being political as much as possible. And yet at the same time, it's very difficult, in fact, impossible, to separate politics from the candidates who are part of the different parties and also separate a candidate from his views or the party platform. So it's a very fine line that we're trying to walk here.
Yes, indeed, and I'm glad you brought that to our attention. David, the polls are tightening with Mr. Trump gaining momentum over the past couple of weeks. And I recall one of our previous conversations that you mentioned at one time that you live in a bellwether county. What do you mean again? Remind everybody.
Well, that's right. I live in west central Indiana in the Terre Haute area. And the really interesting thing is I think it's the most accurate of all the counties in the United States. There's something like 3,000 counties. And the fact is that the election results coming out of our county have predicted the outcome of every single presidential race except for two since 1988. And currently, with a survey done by a local radio and television station, they had about 558 respondents out of our county, and it shows Jill Stein at 14 of those 558, Gary Johnson at 41, Hillary Clinton at 195, and Donald Trump at 308. That's a 20-point spread for Donald Trump, so it's really going to be interesting to see how this comes out.
Of course, everybody with bated breath is standing watching to see what the results will be. Well, over the past year, we've examined where the different candidates stand on various issues, particularly those issues that we most need to keep in mind as we go to the polls because of their biblical significance.
Well, that's true. You know, one of the things we always have to consider is character, and obviously there are issues on both sides of that. But when you get down to specific biblical issues, I think you and I have discussed three that we really consider important that are almost litmus tests, and that is the issue of abortion, the pro-life versus a pro-abortion position, also where candidates and platforms are in relation to the nation of Israel, and then also the same-sex and homosexual lifestyle issue. So those are three things that I think we can talk to specifically.
Well, let's first discuss the issue of abortion. Even though it seems that the right position should be obvious, it isn't, even for some who claim to be Christians. So, David, what are some of the biblical principles which come into play here?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, we read in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in his own image, and God breathed the breath of life into man. He became a living soul at that point. And theologically, from that point on, we descend from our parents, both body and soul. That means that both theologically and scientifically, a human life comes into existence at conception, and a new soul comes into existence at the moment of conception. So to kill an unborn child is to actually take a human life and one created in the image of God. And then in Psalm 139, we read, beginning in verse 13, the psalmist says, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." So he refers to himself as a person, even from the time of being in his mother's womb. And then in Jeremiah 1:5, a known verse, we read, "Before I formed you in the womb," this is the Lord speaking, he says, "I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you." And speaking to Jeremiah, he said, "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So here is the Lord speaking as if he's speaking to the unborn child and treats him as a person.
very, very important verses to remember, especially as you make your decision who you're going to vote on. But another thing we need to know before you go into booth, let's look at the candidates. Where do the presidential and the vice presidential candidates stand on abortion, for example?
Well, Donald Trump did not used to be a pro-life candidate, but he has said fairly recently that he had a significant personal experience a number of years ago, and he changed to a pro-life candidate. With regard to partial birth abortion, even back in 2000, he concluded in a book that he wrote that he would support a ban on partial birth abortions, and then he has said that regarding nominations to the Supreme Court, that he would nominate only judges who are pro-life. But on the other hand, Hillary Clinton has voted to endorse Roe versus Wade. That happened when she was a senator back in 2003. And just this year, she has actually said the unborn person doesn't have constitutional rights. That is terrifying. And then regarding partial birth abortion, she has voted to allow that. And then regarding Supreme Court nominations, she has said that I would not support someone who did not think Roe versus Wade is settled law. Also, just thinking about the vice presidential candidates, Mike Pence, he's a born-again believer, actually from my hometown. He has a strong voting record of 12 years in the House of Representatives that was pro-life, and is a governor of Indiana the same way. And Tim Kaine, even though he is a Catholic, he is very loose on his issues, and he has basically adopted the Democratic Party platform, which would seek to nullify all limits on abortion, including late abortions.
Let's turn to the matter of policy concerning the nation of Israel, David. From a biblical perspective, how important is it for a political party to maintain a pro-Israel stance in the party platform?
Well, it's extremely important. It goes back to the character of God and his faithfulness to his promises in Genesis chapter 12 in the Abrahamic covenant. He's told Abraham he would make him a great nation. He had blessed him, and he said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And so God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would have a land, a piece of land that is much larger than the current state of Israel, from the Nile to the Euphrates River, that there would be descendants and that they would bless the nations of the earth. And then in Jeremiah, in the New Covenant, God promised again to Israel and Judah that he would keep his promises. And basically, if the universe could cease to exist on its own, then the seed of Israel would cease from being a nation. And if the heaven could be measured, then he would cast off all the seed of Israel. So these are promises in the Word of God.
Let's do quickly the Republican and Democratic platforms, compare them to what it stands for, the platform, when it comes to Israel.
Well, the Democratic Party and Republican Party platforms at one time weren't that much different, but as we have moved forward, they recognize Israel's right to existence, but they are pushing definitely for a two-state solution. And even though the Republicans may accept that, they also call out Hamas and Hezbollah and also terrorists from the Palestinians and say that Israel must have a right to security. And furthermore, Donald Trump has made it very clear that he's going to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's eternal capital and actually move the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv.
Well, finally, on the matters of same-sex marriage, transgender issues, the homosexual lifestyle, and the LGBT agenda, can you give a clear biblical response to those evangelicals who are actually changing their views now on this issue?
Well, it goes back actually to the image of God in man. At the end of Genesis chapter 2, God said that a man would leave his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that is so that the man and woman can most fully represent the image of God. And two women and two men cannot represent that in a marital union. We also know from Deuteronomy and from the law that same-sex relationships are an abomination in the eyes of God. And then in Romans chapter 1, Paul makes it very clear in what I call the death spiral of humanity that a nation or even the entire world is approaching the judgment of God in each stage of history when there is pervasive homosexual behavior. And certainly that's what we're facing right now.
What are the positions, David, of the presidential candidates and the vice presidential candidates?
Well, Donald Trump has made some ambiguous statements, and certainly he brought them forward to some degree during the Republican National Convention. But his main position, I think this is important, he sees it as a states' rights issue and wants to move the federal government out of working with this and move it to states' rights, which is a very constitutional way of handling it. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton has approved the Obama administration's guidance regarding public schools and transgender identity, protecting the same-sex marriage. And Tim Kaine is very much the same way as she is. And on the other hand, being a born-again conservative evangelical Christian, we know that Mike Pence is very much in favor of traditional marriage and has a very biblical view in that regard.
Folks, those of you eavesdropping on the conversation, I hope this has been a service that has been and will be beneficial for you as you go into the voting booth to make your decision as to which of the candidates you're going to vote for, hoping that that individual will become the next president of the United States. David, either way, this is a very important election. And indeed, if God's word is correct, it says that he uses human government to guide and direct this world, and this world seems to be following the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. So this is a key election, is it not?
Yes, it is. And I would say this, even if believers out there come to the point where they feel they cannot vote for either of the presidential candidates, I would say don't stay home. You can still go down and vote for the down ballot candidates, because we're talking about others who are adhering to one platform or the other, and you have to look at those who hold views in regard to those issues that we brought up. And it's not just about the presidential election. Remember, you're also voting for others, and you're voting for a platform as much as you are a person.
David, thank you so much for the service you've given to the listeners of Prophecy Today. I think this was key, especially at this time in history. Appreciate it so much. We'll have another issue next week, David. Looking forward to talking with you then.
Thanks again, Jimmy.